It's time for Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group with financial advisors Kevin Corhorn, Mike Bernard, and Josh Gregory.
Welcome to another episode of the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group, where every week we're helping you take your next wise step in your financial life. Thanks for being here, friends. My name is Mike Bernard. I am your host. I'm also one of the certified financial planners on the program. And with me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory.
What do you do when your kids seem to lack the skills and maturity to handle money well? As a parent, what's your role in your kids' money management? Whether you're managing multi-generational wealth or just observing your children's decisions with their piggy banks, it's hard to know what the right approach should be. So today, we're going to wade into this sensitive topic on today's episode of The Wise Money Show.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I am not. And Josh, I know you are. Kevin, I know you are. But, you know, the kids, we've got one teenager and then two much younger. And I don't know. Like, we're dealing with how do you manage life as opposed to how can you get yourself dressed in the morning as opposed to how can you manage money well? But absolutely, we're going to get into this, a couple different questions. If you have a question for the program, we'd love to hear from you. You can call or text us, 574-222-2000. That's 574-222-2000. Online, wisemoneyshow.com is where you can find us. And then all over social media, wherever you're at, we are there as well. Search The Wise Money Show. All right, so we're kicking off today's show with a question. We've got another one hanging fire right after that. And it's a tension that we've hit before. And this tension, guys, it's tough because you could do decades. You could have decades of great financial planning that is unwound because of some poor choices by the next generation. And some planning work that you've done, whether it's tax planning or investment planning or what have you, can be undone if the folks that inherit these dollars or the next generation, if they don't have the maturity and the character and the skill to handle money well. So here's a scenario, and I'm paraphrasing here, but husband passed away young, leaving a widow and then a teenage daughter. And the teenager is receiving Social Security. We're going to explain that in just a second. But squandering it based on what the mom said. The mom has said she's received over $15,000 as a high schooler and has blown all of it. The only thing to show for it is some bad habits. And the mom's very concerned and reached out and said, so what do I do? Mm-hmm. So before we get into that question, guys, this is news to some people. Wait a second, Social Security is paying money to a minor child? What's going on here?
Yeah, it's good to understand what Social Security is. It's depending on where you look, it might say OASDI. You say, what in the world is that? So OA is old age, and that is really, I think that might be a little bit of a misnomer as I get closer. That is so stinking young. So, but at 62, you can start drawing a benefit. Unless you're a widow, and then you can draw benefit at 60. So that's old age.
That's the typical
retirement.
Yeah, retirement benefit that we all think of when we think of Social Security.
Yep. S is for survivor. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a survivor, I would get a...
That's good. That was good. No, keep going.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
I would get a benefit, and especially as a child. So I would get a monthly benefit until... I turn 18 or 19, depending on the situation. So that's based on my deceased parents' the earning record.
Yeah, so here's the deal. In order to be eligible, you have to have the parent needs to be eligible for Social Security. And most of us sort of overlook that, but maybe it's not something to overlook, especially if you're thinking of this as a survivor benefit.
And one of the unique things as well is that if I am a grandparent raising my grandchild and I'm on Social Security, I get a benefit for my dependent child.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this survivor benefit, it's an important one. We often on this show, we're talking about more of the retirement benefits that Kevin was just mentioning, and your decision on when do you draw that and how do you structure it and everything. It's one of the biggest financial decisions that you have to make. As far as survivor benefits, there's no decision. There's been a tragedy. A parent has been lost. And now the question is, had they paid into the system long enough and qualify for this benefit? And if so, how old are the kids that are still in the household. And if you lost your spouse yesterday, God forbid, but if you did, then there are some benefits potentially that you would need to be looking into if you're raising young children at home. And they define young children as if they're under age 16, and your spouse who passed away was paid into Social Security, then you could be receiving a benefit to help care for them. And it'll be a percentage of what your deceased spouse's total benefit or retirement benefits would have been. But then the kids also can qualify. And it's actually, they'll qualify for an amount longer than what you will even. It's up until age 18. Or if they're still in high school when they turn 19 or are past 18, they can continue to receive this benefit as well, as long as they're a full-time student.
Yeah, between ages 18 and 19 and a full-time student at an elementary or secondary school, so grade 12 or below. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't extend into college. But the trick is they are going, so you might be wondering here, wait a second, they're still my dependent. So if they're getting Social Security, that's my Social Security that I'm using for their care. Yeah, I mean, yeah, yes, you do need to prove that this money is being used for their care. But when they turn 18, I mean, essentially the money's going to them. It's going to them. And you, if they're so young, you know, if they're 5, 6, something like that, then oftentimes you have to justify that you're you know, spending this on groceries or clothing or whatever for them, or putting it aside in a college account or an account just for them. But I think in this scenario, child is, you know, 17 or around there and is essentially making their own money decisions with the Social Security. And I get it. I mean, you go from married and then experience a tragedy, and now you're trying to figure things out through an emotional, you know, such an emotional time. Exactly how you manage this, I don't know.
Yeah, for you guys, what has been your observation with clients who have been receiving this for their kids or their kids have been receiving it along the way? I personally have never seen a kid actually receive the money. It has often gone into the family coffers, and it's helping to raise that child. You know, it's not like it's just free money for them to, you know, take to the mall or to buy a car necessarily.
I would say that's true, and this isn't a very common scenario, but I've actually had experience with two of them. Mm-hmm. One where they said, you know, the parent didn't need the money and was setting it aside in the kid's bank account. And mm-hmm. so that's fine. But then the other, I have had a scenario just like this, where the parent was choosing to have this money be basically the allowance to mm-hmm. the child. And in that scenario, it was about $1,000 or maybe $800 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it sounds like this one's, you know, more than that, totaling $15,000
That's a whale of allowance unless the child is paying for everything that they're doing.
Buying their own clothes.
I think that's the concern here, which we can get into. I mean, that's the concern by this parent. I mean, how in the world, after over a year, do you not have any of this money to show for it? Except a bunch of bad habits, like I mentioned. So it sort of speaks a little bit to some of just the character traits. Before we get to the decisions, the financial decisions come out of somewhere, comes out of your thinking and some of your character. So what are some of the character traits that you need in order to be a good steward and make great money decisions?
Well, you need a basic set of skills. So you need skills and character. Mm-hmm. And if you said to me, hey, here's the deal. I've got a child who's lost a parent, and we're going to give them a meaningful chunk of unearned money every month, I would look in the dictionary under disaster.
Yeah.
Because that formula is
how could it go well?
It doesn't seem like it could. And we are not here to judge anyone or anything, and we don't know the situation. But if you told me that's the fact pattern, I would be very concerned, because most adults can't handle that, mm-hmm. let alone having a child who's going to be likely grieving and struggling with things. And you can use money to achieve all kinds of things shouldn't.
You inject money into a grieving situation, yeah, a high emotion situation, and the decision making, it doesn't get better, yeah, in that situation, right? It can only start out at whatever level it was and just go down from there, unfortunately.
Okay, so how do you handle the situation? What do you do if you've got a child that is maybe mishandling their finances? How do you step in? What should you do? We've got that and more coming up on The Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
How do you help a child that you would do anything for, and it's in your capability, it's in your power to help, but they're making poor financial decisions? Do you help or do you not? And how, what approach do you take? That's what we're helping with right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Every episode of the Wise Money Show is on podcast, wherever you listen. Go to, well, search Wise Money Show and subscribe to it there. Follow us there. Rate the program there. We appreciate it. All right, so scenario that we're kicking off with, and we're going to broaden it right now, is a widow's child, teenage child, is receiving survivor Social Security benefits for on behalf of the deceased father. And in this scenario, again, no judgment, right? The widow said, well, this is your Social Security, so here you go. My kids, I've already told Cindy, and I have wrestled about this one. You get a car, you get a job. Like, that's the thing. You get a license, you get a job. That's the thing. And so this could just be, hey, you're grieving. You would normally have a job, so you're going to get your Social Security instead. That's going in your name instead of employment income. But this mom's looking and saying she squandered it. There's no money after $15,000 of Social Security income over the past year and change. There's nothing except for bad habits. So let's broaden that scenario. So you've got a young child, either just graduating college or early in their career or maybe in high school, but you're looking and they're mishandling their finances. They're being irresponsible. And so what are these stories? And these are much more common. I helped my child get their first credit card, and they racked up a bill that they cannot pay. Mm-hmm. I've heard that. Out of the blue, you know, we just found out our child has a $10,000 credit card balance. What do we do? Do we step in and help? A young child who graduated from college or never went to college can't keep their job, and therefore they don't have enough income coming in to afford the basics. Do you step in and help? So again, going back to this, they need financial help. It's within your ability. You could step in and help.
Yeah,
should you?
Well, those are two different scenarios, though, Mike. Because one is I'm getting money that I can't handle, and I don't have either the skill or the character to be able to handle it. The other is I've not proven myself responsible. I can give you the quick answer on the what do I do. I just found out my child has a $10,000 credit card. And I've seen that a number of times, and I've encouraged folks, do not step in. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as you've stepped in, you've taken care of the symptom. I would encourage you to find the problem. What's the root cause of this, and what's happening, and how would you solve that?
Yeah, and that, so you had asked the question also, what is the character, what are the character traits that someone needs to have as a child or as a young adult in order to be able to be ready to manage money, whether that's earned or not earned? And to me, one of the character traits or one of the life lessons, the pieces of wisdom that you have to gain with time is this ability to connect cause and effect, the income coming in, and then what's the outcome in your financial life? What are consequences? And understanding that, yeah, if I'm racking up that credit card debt or if I'm spending money as fast as it's coming in, what are the consequences of this? And kids just haven't lived long enough to be able to look backwards and say, oh yeah, I can see the connection between the decisions I made this, you know, these years earlier to now where I'm at right now. And to me, that's one of the things that's hard to teach. And if you miss an opportunity to let a kid see a direct consequence to their decisions or their habits, then you're extending even longer how long it's going to take for them to be able to learn from their own lessons.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the challenge is it very possible you have a very clean financial house and you look at that credit card that is charging, you know, 18% probably or in the 20s mm-hmm. and saying, I would never let that happen. And I can see how far behind my child's going to be financially. You would not wish this on your child and you would not allow this for yourself. So resisting that temptation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to deal with the consequences of the path that they're on instead of let them deal with the pain of the path they're on and then self-correct.
Right.
Right.
Because you're right, Mike. You're looking at your accounts, your bank accounts, and you say, well, my child's paying 20%+ interest on this $10,000. I've got $10,000 sitting there not paying me anything close to that. It'd be a much better deal to do this, but I've seen it happen both ways, and almost to a person, the parent that relieves the suffering immediately with an injection of their own cash, that it goes back. It's just like the situation where someone has a bunch of unhealthy debt, and they have equity in their house. They take the equity out of their house, get rid of all the debt, and have a clean start. And before you know it, they've racked up the debt again because they haven't solved the problem. So part of this is helping a child understand the idea of delayed gratification and the concepts of self-discipline and self-control and what is money for. Money is very confusing, especially money that just shows up. It'd be much easier if this child was working and there was an exchange of value for that work, because then they could say, okay, if I'm going to get this Big Mac value meal for 17 or 18 bucks, whatever it is, how many hours? I used to calculate that when I was younger. I would think, okay, I know what I want. How many minutes or hours am I working to get that thing?
I know. I did that same math as well. I actually want to go there, Kevin, but before we get to that spot, because a young adult could be working, earning money, and still be irresponsible with it.
That's right.
But I want to, before we go there, and it's obviously connected, how then, like, tangibly how? So you guys have said, make them fight their way through, battle their way through this, the consequence. But how? How as a parent then, if you're not supposed to step in and help by paying off the debt or giving them money, how do you actually help?
Well, in a case of someone who's built up a debt, you can step in and help them build the plan on getting back out. Mm-hmm. But they need to be the one who does the heavy lifting, who, you know, takes the extra hours at work to earn just a little bit more and get their own little debt snowball going. But I tell you, someone who has been in debt and then dug their way out, mm-hmm. just scraping and clawing and fighting their way back to a better spot, man, that is someone who has just earned a fantastic life lesson, and they are far less likely to find themselves in that exact same situation again because of the pain to get back out. Mm-hmm. If you're writing a quick check and making the consequences go away, there's no pain, there's no effort or anything, then there's no lesson learned either.
Yep.
So to me, helping them figure out a path that they can actually stick to, help them be successful in the recovery time since they've already kind of found themselves in the pit, so to speak.
Yeah. I think that ability to work through a problem builds confidence, and that confidence lets someone keep their credit card in their pocket when they go into the gas station or when they go into, I don't know where you go and spend money that is...
Amazon.
Yeah, it's all right. online these days.
Online. Going to Amazon.
You know, I think the same concept can exist, though, in this listener's question about, hey, $15,000 of Social Security benefits later and I've got nothing to show for it. Well, can we have a conversation, you know, with the kid? You know, does it hurt their feelings in any way? Because they may not be feeling any pain related to no savings. They've never had savings to begin with. Why would I care if I have savings right now? Mm-hmm. You know, maybe having a conversation with them about, well, what is that money doing for them And is it worth it? You know, how much influence are their peers having on what money gets spent? Is this money that's trying to buy a reputation or buy some love and affection or attention from other people? You know, the money's...
Or kind of fill the pain
sure.
that's
yeah.
left.
Yeah. Or,
right?
or numb yourself to the pain. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
So to me, getting to the root of the issue mm-hmm. is ultimately what matters, because if the money's trying to achieve something that money can never achieve, mm-hmm. then helping that child work through the emotions and processing through the grief and everything may be the most important investment you could make, not trying to take over the finances from them.
All right, we're going to break down a couple of tools that you can help your child with, or at least point them in the right direction, working with the CFP. But then we're going to flip it, this same concept, on its end. What if you've got an older adult that is also displaying poor financial character? How do you help with that? We've got that more coming up on The Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Okay, so when your kids are making some poor financial choices, how do you step in and help? We're talking about young kids, but what about older kids as well? And it's you're late in your life expectancy and looking and saying, my son or daughter has not developed this maturity and character with finances. What do you do? We're helping with that right now. This is the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Thanks for being here. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFT studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Stay up to date on all Wise Money content. Find us online, wisemoneyshow.com, and all over social media. Wherever you're at, we are there as well. Search the Wise Money Show. Okay, so scenario is young adult is squandering some income that they're getting. How do you, you know, do you step in and solve the problem for them, or how do you help them? We've already addressed you need some skill and character. Now, mm-hmm. you don't need to be a financial wizard, mm-hmm. but you do need to have some baseline skill, and you can hire some of the skill and a lot of the accountability as well. From a character standpoint, we've already established that, though. There's no shortcut here. You've got to build the financial discipline, the delayed gratification, that entire mindset. But then let's shift over to the skills. How does a young adult acquire the skills? We've said before, so there's six areas to your financial life. We say that every show. One area, first area, is present financial position. This is the blocking and tackling of your finances. This is the foundation for your financial house. So often we're talking on this show, or you're thinking about your finances and you're thinking about building rooms and retirement and all these sorts of things. No, this is foundation level work. And hopefully your child is working on their foundation right away as a teenager and when they start their career. And therefore, they spend the rest of their career building on top of that strong foundation, okay? That foundation, three bank account system. Mm-hmm. If there already is some debt, work on a debt snowball. And so having the emergency fund, having the budget, I mean, that stuff takes practice, takes a lot of time.
Yeah, and you also have to have some wins along the way. Like you have to have a history or a track record of saving up for a purchase, mm-hmm. or paying down that debt so that you don't go back into debt in the future. Little wins along the way start to rack up, and it gives confidence to someone, and it builds habits ultimately.
Yeah.
And so that's the power of things like the three bank account system. It's you anticipating what could be coming down the road, not just living right now. I got some cash in my hand so I can spend. No, what are the expenses, the needs that are coming, and I have to think ahead on those things. Yeah. That's an adult skill. Right? Kids have a hard time with that one, unless you kind of force them to have to think ahead.
Oh, Josh, lots of adults have a hard time with that one too.
Well, I want to go there, but let's hit three skills or three options.
Okay.
One is on the Wise Money YouTube channel. There is a playlist for our Financial Foundation series. It's just five videos, so it's not a big, we have visions of building out bigger curriculum and all that sort of stuff, but it's going to give you the basics. And help your son or daughter with the basics, the foundations. What is credit? What is debt? What is this three bank account system? How much should you be saving? Those sorts of things. So go to the Wise Money YouTube channel. Go to that playlist. It's the Financial Foundation series. If what's needed is more hands-on, but still not personal, do a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace course. You can do that online. Better if you do it at a church with others and an instructor. But Dave Ramsey Financial Peace, reading some of those books, you know, Total Money Makeover, those sorts of things. I know when I was trying to make some health changes, it wasn't just doctor telling me what I needed to do or my brain telling me what I needed to do. I needed to surround myself with it. So started reading a couple books about how to eat better and that sort of stuff. Not because I desperately needed the knowledge. No, I needed to just be immersed in it. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. And then third, buying some time with the CFP. And having your child, whether that's hourly or whether it's a short-term engagement, something where that financial planner is working with your child one-on-one to help them build those basics, build out that financial foundation, hold them accountable as they get started.
Yeah, and I think I would want the mother to be involved at every step of the way. And I would, if we're talking to the mother right now, I would say, there's two things that you have to deal with. One is the internal finance, like how does this child feel about money? Mom, how do you feel about money? Mm-hmm. And then the actual science, the dollars and cents, and what do you do with it? But I would, you know, for the mom, I'd say think back to when you were young, and you know, what was your first recollection about money that comes to you? And how has that stayed with you? And I would talk through that with the child and deal with the child with some of your internal finances and say, hey, what was my first job? What did I do with the money that I earned in my first job? What did my parents do for a living? There's a lot of conversations around money that parents typically stay away from. Yeah. And I would say, mother, enter the danger. This is really, really important, and I think you'll do a great job at it.
Yeah, I would also encourage the mom to not lose hope. If you've seen 1 year of this child receiving Social Security benefits and they don't have anything to show for it, that doesn't mean that they're doomed for financial failure out in the future.
Right.
You know, maybe on the track that they're on, and that's why you're worried. This, if they stay on this track and don't develop the skill and character, but yes, don't presume too much.
That's right.
There's time to involve and get help.
Think back to how that child thought as a kindergartner and then as a middle schooler, and now they're a high schooler. This child has been maturing in some way, and now they're trying to pick up skills and pick up character really, really fast with one less parent, unfortunately, helping to coach them along the way. But it doesn't mean that they're not going to make progress. Kids grow up. They do. And sometimes they learn from painful circumstances. But I would just point to my own story and say that, man, when I was that kid's age, I had money because I worked a lot and I blew it all. You know, I didn't have anything to show for it when I got to the end of college ultimately. But it doesn't mean that you can't improve and pick up those skills. And so don't lose hope, I guess, is the message there.
All right. So here we go. Let's go to the other end of the spectrum then. Now you're looking, and we see this scenario a lot as well. We see each of these just as much. I'm into retirement. I'm into my 70s, and I'm looking and saying, yep, we've done a great job planning and saving up and working with their CFP. We start thinking about the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start looking at the next generation's financial habits.
Mm-hmm.
Are they equipped now that your child is in their late 40s or in their 50s or in their early 60s? And you start looking, saying, well, do they have what it takes to be responsible when they inherit these dollars? Or, and you might say, oh, that's judging. No, it's the same sort of thing. If a child hasn't saved up and hasn't been responsible with their finances and then inherit a chunk of dollars from you, that could just accelerate them in the wrong choices, in the wrong direction, just like this, you know, this minor child. So what do you do in that situation where time should have allowed this child to build some skill and some character, but it hasn't?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then?
Well, the good thing about adult children is that you can have adult conversations with them too. And you can talk about things beyond just, the nuts and bolts of budgeting and saving and stuff. You can talk more about the why behind it. And this is where it's important that the conversations turn towards, well, what are your own values that you would want to be able to pass on to your kids and grandkids? And because ultimately, if they're going to be the recipients of the leftovers when you're done with them in retirement, what's going to happen with those? Are those dollars going to be just for them and in their life, or is there a responsibility that you personally feel and you hope that they will feel as well to future generations beyond them? Is the money meant to be for more than just the family? You know, we believe in finding important causes or missions in the world that we want to support. Do you demonstrate that? Do they even know these things? You know, how private have you been with money all along? And so you might have some things that are very important to you during your lifetime as it relates to money, but it's not important to your kids and they've never even seen it demonstrated, unfortunately. It's not too late to have those conversations, right? To talk about, here's what I had hoped to accomplish with this money. I'm not going to hold this money forever. It's going to come to you. And I hope that you have something important that you would want to do with the money as well. Pass on your values before the money gets passed on.
Yeah, it brings me back to, when do you start talking to your kids about your finances, right? It is so private. When do you start talking about that? And then, yeah, how else could you help them in that sort of adult conversation? So we got more coming up here on The Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group.
This is Wise Money with Corhorn Financial Group.
Thanks for being here. This is The Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. My name is Mike Bernard. With me in the KFG studios, Kevin Corhorn and Josh Gregory. Every episode, as well as a lot of other content, is on the YouTube channel. Go to YouTube, search The Wise Money Show. Not only is this talk show and every single one recorded right there, but lots of other videos helping you take your next wise step in your financial life. So make sure you go to YouTube, search The Wise Money Show, subscribe to it there. Turn on notifications so you're made aware every time we drop new content. And if you like the content, like the content. All right, we're talking about helping your kids with money, right? Helping them have the skill and maturity, the character to be a good steward, to manage their own finances well. But then we've also turned the scenario to, well, someday manage your remaining resources, leftover resources, and steward those well. If you have, if you're later in your life, and you're looking at your kids and saying, well, at some point they're going to receive an inheritance. If they don't have the skill and maturity, is this inheritance just going to accelerate some really bad financial decisions and actually be a curse as opposed to a blessing? If that's you, tangibly, what can you do?
Well, I think what I encourage folks to do is give the gift of financial planning.
Absolutely.
So there's gifting. You say, what kind of gifts should be happening, and what gifts happen while I'm alive, and what gifts happen after I'm gone? And sometimes an unsolicited gift is an unwanted gift. And so you do have to be careful in doing this. But if your adult children need help, and I don't know the adult children that don't need help with financial planning, then you might offer to pay a portion of it, pay all of it. We have clients that pay for all of it for their kids. If your children are good stewards of the resources that they've been entrusted with now, you might look, and as you're working with your planner and saying, hey, what are the extra resources? What are the dollars that I'm not going to get to in my lifetime? You might take some of those and begin the gifting process now and say, well, what kind of gifts might you do? I don't know. You might start as simple as just funding a 529 plan of your own, and then you might fund them for your children or your grandchildren. And then you might help if your children aren't funding IRAs or Roth IRAs, you might say, hey, I know you're putting all your money into your retirement plan at work. What if your mother and I helped you with funding your IRAs? Something like that. And again, the dynamics, it's easy to get this wrong. And by the time you have adult children, if there are other issues in the relationship, bringing up money will likely exacerbate those. And so this is where you have to be really careful about
having a financial planner has really helped us as we were, building our financial life. Are you guys working with a certified financial planner? If not, we would love to to help get you started. Mm-hmm. We'd love to gift you the cost of your first year in financial planning. Something like that, hopefully can be innocent enough.
Ultimately, what you're doing is you're equipping them with a coach who can help build those great habits and those great skills that maybe aren't fully in place. Yep. And the habit of being a planner yourself and thinking about the future and making wise choices is ultimately what you're trying to do. You know, one of the other places that I've seen some families at this stage in life where you are maybe in retirement, you've got adult children, and you're thinking about the end game here. What does life look like when I'm done with this cash and there's leftovers that go to the family or to other places? How do I communicate that clearly? And more of our clients, as they get to this stage in life, are calling together family meetings. Mm-hmm. And it's often for the purpose of explaining their own estate plan. Mm. You know, maybe they just spent time with their certified financial planner and the estate planning attorney, and they've got their wishes laid out in black and white. It's no longer theoretical. It's now in place. And you have to convey that at some point to the kids. They need to start to understand what your values were and what you're putting in place as far as plans after they're gone. This is especially important if there's going to be anything unequal with the distribution yep. of your estate. And why would that happen? Maybe one child is disabled and maybe they're going to need more resources to be able to care for them. After you're gone, maybe one child is going to receive money outright and their sibling needs to have it in a trust so that they don't just blow through the money. There need to be some constraints in place. Man, you've got to be the one who explains that during your lifetime, because we've just seen the aftermath sometimes of an estate plan that gets put in place but then not communicated. Mm-hmm. And anytime there's question marks in place that your own kids have to interpret or decipher after you're gone without being able to have a conversation and say, well, why did you do this?
Yeah,
man, that leaves a lot of opportunity for hurt. Mm-hmm. And if that hurt then gets turned to their siblings and now it becomes a source of conflict in those relationships. I don't know of a single parent who thinks to themselves, I want to put some things in place that after I'm gone, my kids have a rift in the relationship and you know, they're not talking after a while. No one intentionally does that,
right?
So be proactive is the point here. And begin explaining, here's what we put in place and here's the why behind it. This is what we value. This is what we're trying to intend. This is why not all the money is going to you. Some of it is going to these other causes or these charities or whatever. It's because we value this, and I hope that you will find something that you'll stand behind. Mm-hmm. It's maybe your last opportunity while it's still just theoretical. It's still this future event that's happening and you're there to explain it. Your estate plan is one of those things that shouldn't be a mystery to your kids.
And that, so going back to something you shared before, Kevin, the 70-40 rule, do that.
Yeah.
By the time you're in your 70s.
Yeah. By the time you hit your 70s and your youngest child hits their 40s, then I would divulge everything that the children are capable of receiving.
Yep.
'Cause really, if as a parent, I think if I could pass on anything to my kids, it would be the values and the things that I care about. So you got to have a strategy for doing that. But then you also have to have a strategy for what happens if we live happily ever after and, you know, spend the next 30 years on this earth, and what happens if we're gone tomorrow. And a lot of times that's what gets parents thinking about financial planning, because you say, okay, you've got 10 million, 15, 20 million here. You're both gone tomorrow. Are your three children able to receive $5 million a piece?
Right.
And sometimes folks are like, yeah, they're ready. And that's awesome. That's what you want to hear. And sometimes you say, well, two of them are, but if one of them received that, it would wreck everything. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's like winning the lottery, although it wouldn't be winning the lottery, but the what happens is there's some, where does the money go? It vanishes, and it's likely to some sort of addiction or some other thing that's just not healthy.
Yeah.
So that's where you want to be working and have the kids working with an advisor. This is why you want to work with financial planning yourself, so that if in the event, I mean, I just talked to the lady and her husband died 3 weeks ago and he took care of everything. They're in their 70s. She doesn't know what to do. And mm-hmm. she needs someone to step in and help. I'm thankful that she came to us, but it would have been, you know, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, it would have been easier if we'd been working with them a few years ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. now we would just be on the, you know, rails to run on, and we just keep going.
Isn't that the message? You know, it's probably the message we should work into every single show, and that's the importance of having a financial plan in place. Obviously, in this scenario where you're a grieving spouse, man, it's better to be continuing on or adjusting a plan that you already established with your spouse instead of picking up for the very first time and you getting involved in the finances. Same thing with these kids that we're talking about. You know, whether it's a high school kid who is receiving Social Security benefits like we started the show with, or an adult child who's going to someday inherit money from you, but they don't really have the skills or the character to manage it well yet. Well, what's the answer? It's getting into a relationship with a coach who has their best interest at heart, just like you do, mm-hmm. but who can have a voice in their life and teach them what they haven't learned yet, help them think about the future where they're really more focused on the here and now. That's the purpose of financial planning, to help them build a better future. And that's what you want for them as a yep. parent, right? Yep. So if you don't have that, or if your kids don't have that, I would encourage you and them to get that relationship started with your own certified financial planner.
Yep, absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself, Josh. Absolutely. All right, that's all the time we have for today. On behalf of Josh Gregory, Kevin Corhorn, all of us at Corhorn Financial Group, have a great weekend. We'll see you next Saturday for the Wise Money Show with Corhorn Financial Group. Being irresponsible or mishandling money. It doesn't need to be you've got a 17-year-old that's receiving income. No, you don't. We don't need to stay
okay,
there.
So you're going to broaden it.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Nice job, Mike.
All right.
That's why you're the host.
All right, here we go. That's the first, actually. So we're in our ninth season where Kevin actually agreed with the agenda, the direction. Oftentimes he's, go over here. I want to talk about DI. All right, here we go.
I want to talk about me. Okay.
There you go. There's another one. Not the 90s, for the record.
Securities offered through Silver Oak Securities, member FINRA/SIPC. Advisory services offered through KFG Wealth Management, LLC. Doing business as Corhorn Financial Group. KFG Wealth Management, LLC and Silver Oak Securities Incorporated companies are unaffiliated.